Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're going to be talking about some of the dogs that we've rescued recently from a shelter in Georgia. These are some pretty awesome dogs. And as you know by listening every week, our show isn't scripted. We say what's on our mind when it's on our mind. Sometimes that can make for some pretty racy comments. Sometimes we can be very blunt. Sometimes we can be very, very bold. And that's good, because the world needs blunt and bold, and the world needs to understand the plight of these beautiful dogs who unfortunately were abandoned, dumped in shelters, or sometimes just abandoned on the street by people who used to be called mommy, who used to say, I love my dog. I'm getting my dog the best things in the world. But then one day, I guess all of a sudden, things weren't exactly as you planned, and you have a baby, or you lose a job, or you move out of your house. And all of a sudden, that commitment that you made, the commitment you should have honored, suddenly you can't honor anymore. And that's a big problem. So today is going to be dedicated to those people who don't quit and don't give up on their commitment. Today is going to be dedicated, well, the first section of our show anyway segment, is going to be dedicated to those of you who have dogs with behavioral issues and you're not quitting on them. You are going to be great pet parents and you are going to be taking care of them and honoring your commitment. Well, along those lines, I'd like to talk to you about some of the classes I've done since last week. I did 15 classes, so that means a couple of them had large numbers of dogs. There were two families who had actually six dogs in each one. So that's Wyatt saying hi there. And Wyatt, what do you think about people giving up on their dogs? What do you think? That's not a good idea, is it? Now, Wyatt said no. He said that's totally uncool. So, you know, the most important thing for us in anything is to make a commitment and honor it. Well, these families who we work with at United Canine Professionals and at merlinskids.org are the good people who don't give up on a commitment because it's inconvenient or expensive or taking too much time from their daily lives or because they have another baby, which is just the lamest of all. Well, geez, are you going to give up your first child when you have your third child? Are you going to give up your dog because you have a baby? You didn't know you were going to have a baby at some point? Seriously, you're 25 years old, you get married, and you weren't thinking, gee, honey, maybe we shouldn't get six, you know, rescue pit bulls because we're eventually going to have a baby. But people don't think like that. And that's why dogs wind up in shelters, rescues, or dead, because people don't think. Well, I'm going to go through a few of these families who I think are very, very interesting cases. The one is a lovely lady here in New Jersey who has five of her own pack. She has everything ranging from an American Bulldog down to, I believe, a Yorkie Maltese mix. Now, you're talking about some pretty big disparity in size. But what's wonderful is she made a commitment. Now, let me tell you what she did. She didn't go out and buy a designer dog that somebody made a ton of money selling. She didn't make sure that the father and mother of this designer dog were still living in hell in a puppy mill, because that's otherwise why would you breed mixed breed dogs intentionally? They're great. I love my mixed breed dogs. I have a bunch of them. We rescue them for Merlin's Kids. But don't make more mixed breed dogs. And by the way, don't make more purebred dogs if they're not top quality, amazing show dogs like Wyatt and like other dogs like him of different breeds. If you're going to breed, then breed to better your breed. Don't breed just to make money. Heck, that's just not right. It's wrong on a lot of levels. Well, so this lady found this very, very pretty, very dark German Shepherd, and it's about a year and a half old. She found the dog wandering on the streets. So what does she do? She's, you know, a rescuer, like I consider myself to be and many of my friends to be. She took the dog home. Well, everything was great for a little while, and lo and behold, after a couple of weeks, this Shepherd female got very dominant, and what did she start doing? She started trying to take over the pack. Well, now you had an established pack of American Bulldog, Pit Bull, something like a Cocker Spaniel, another big dog, I don't remember what kind it was, and this little Maltese mix. So what happens? This dog picks on the wrong dog, and she's got a pack attack. She's got 5-on-1. Well, now it's not just 5-on-1 because, of course, when there's a dog fight, like a bar fight with you crazy guys with your defective Y chromosome, what happens? Somebody else gets hurt. So she wound up with a very large bill from this gigantic dog fight. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to give up on this dog, on this German Shepherd. I'm not giving up on her. So she tried it again, and she got a local obedience trainer who said, oh, I can fix that. And he tried, and there was another dog fight, and this time he got bitten. Well, now you've had 2 failed attempts, and things aren't going right. Nobody's dealing with the fact that there was no leader in the pack. If there were a leader, it wouldn't matter. There wouldn't be a dog fight. Because you're not going to fight and have an argument with your brother or sister when you got a tough mom and dad, because your mom and dad are going to say, heck no, not in my house, you're not going to do that. And that's exactly what happened. So then this lady, and we're talking all within a matter of weeks, then this lady decides she's going to go have a quote-unquote behaviorist. Well, the behaviorist charges by the dog. So I think it was $500 per consultation per dog. She got through, I guess, dog number 3 and realized this isn't going to work either. Why are people doing this? Why aren't they just changing what was wrong in the whole pack? That's why at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com and MerlinsKids.org, you know, we understand, we speak dog language. We understand how dogs think. I call it dog-anese. We speak Doganese, and we teach you that language. We don't charge United Canine Professionals. We don't charge per dog because we're not really teaching the dogs. Yes, we are, but kind of indirectly, we're teaching you. We are teaching you, the dog owner, the dog guardian, the pet parent. We're teaching you what you need to do to change in order to make all the dog issues go away. You can't just expect the issues to go away because you're telling the dog to sit. How does sitting down when you're upset make you calm? What was that answer I hear everyone screaming out? No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. It's like if you were angry or frustrated or upset, and I told you, Joe, Sally, Jimmy, Bob, Brooke, sit down, calm down, you'll feel better. You'd probably slug me because of course you wouldn't feel better if you sat down. So what I did is I went in and instead of telling the dogs to sit, I actually taught the adults, taught the people, the owners, how to change what they were doing and to fix the behavior by changing the human. And if you stay tuned, we will be right back with how we did that. Hang on.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just 1 fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt, who is sitting here right next to me. Well, we were talking earlier about a lovely family who had six dogs, five they'd had for quite some time, and a new rescue German Shepherd who they found on the streets. Well, the problem is people think that it's the dog's issue. Now, certainly this family, who was very loving, they didn't intentionally do something wrong. They didn't try to do anything wrong. What they were trying to do was do the right thing, but they didn't know what to do. You have to be able to change the humans if you want to be able to change the dog. And if you're not changing the humans, then you're never going to be able to get a handle on the behavior. Well, one of the problems that's very, very common with dogs who have behavioral issues, especially dogs who are recent rescue dogs, and I'm talking recent rescue dogs as in 6 to 8 months. What tends to happen with dogs, most rescue dogs were not turned in by parents. Most of them were wherever they came from. They were strays. They ran away. They had, you know, a mother dog who wasn't very, wasn't very able to take care of them. That's a big, gigantic problem. So, you know, oftentimes what happens is that because of that, the dog doesn't really or isn't really able to do what it needs to do and get the nutrition that it needs to get. And this is a big problem because when you're not able to get the nutrition that you need, you know, everything goes bad. It's not just one thing. It's everything. So, you know, the problem is that you've got a lot of different people and a lot of different dogs who are, not understanding what needs to be done. And because they don't understand what needs to be done, and because they're not able to do what they need to do, the dogs don't have all the nutrients and vitamins that they need in order to be the best dog in the world. So, you know, one of the main things to do to understand is that you have to deal with nutrition. So this family was not dealing with the nutritional issues of the German Shepherd. So this German Shepherd had been found as a stray. It had been just, probably mistreated or probably hadn't been fed right or whatever it is. And because of that, this dog was, you know, unfortunately starving. And he was starving for food, he was starving for attention, he was starving for everything. And unfortunately, when you have something like that, you're not going to end up in a very good situation. So, the main thing to do is to make sure that the dogs have proper nutrition, proper vitamins, and that they, for whatever reason, are able to access the best nutrition. And we talk about that: no corn, wheat, soy, no BHA, BHT, no byproducts, all these different things. And if the dogs are actually able to have the nutrition they need, they're much less likely to be territorial, protective, and possessive over food or bones or other things, because they're viewing that as a resource. They're viewing it as something that they own that is necessary to them to survive. So what's the main thing to do on that in those cases? Well, of course, you should first make sure that you go and you get your dog on the best food you can afford. So the first thing is I would have separated this German Shepherd, which is what we did eventually, separated the German Shepherd from the other pack of dogs. And first of all, people, you know, there's a great, great vitamin supplement called Nuvet, N-U-V-E-T.com. Phenomenal vitamin supplement. I recommend it. I use it. It's incredible. You can tell them that Merlin's kids told you about the Nuvet and that you heard it on my show with about Merlin's kids and Wyatt and Janice Wolf. And, they'll appreciate the feedback. But the problem is, why would anybody introduce six dogs who don't know each other into each other's pack when you have one dog who's obviously going to get picked on? You don't know if the dog is food aggressive or if he's good with other dogs, but they do that anyway. And it's really, really sad that this happened, but the first thing we did was we put the German Shepherd in with the most passive dog, and then the next most, and then the next, and we're not quite on the last one, but the last one is the one who created the problem. But the goal is to be able to teach this dog what we need to do in order to change what was going on. So we have to teach the dog that he's not, you know, the leader, that he doesn't own the food. And if we're able to teach him that he doesn't own the food, he doesn't have anything, then he will understand and he will be fine. But the main thing is you've got to make sure first that no matter what happens, that you introduce the dogs in a neutral territory where they're not going to be jumping at each other or getting in each other's faces. And it's not going to be near their food because, of course, that's very silly. So we're going to actually talk later in the show about some other things. But, you know, it's a very, very important concept that everyone understands right away. You've got to set your dog up for success, not for failure. I don't understand why everybody sets their dogs up to fail and then is surprised when the dog fails. Of course the dog is going to fail. Why wouldn't he fail? Because you set him up that way. If you set your kids up to fail, they'll fail. If you set your dogs up for failure, they'll fail. But if you set your dogs up for success, they have no choice but to succeed. So it's very, very important, again, and everyone make sure that they understand that you have to introduce the dogs appropriately one by one in a neutral area without toys and without bones and without all those other things that could possibly create a behavioral issue. It's just common sense, but as what my friend always says, common sense isn't always that common. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over a little bit about how to introduce your dog into food. You know, I do a lot of dogs in rescues and shelters who have serious, serious issues. These are dogs who, you know, for whatever the good or bad of it is, these are dogs who are, really not, not the kind of dogs that we want to really have around, some of our people, our kids, our family members, because they can get aggressive. Well, you call United Canine Professionals at 855-4-CANINE-PROS. We will help you out. We will help to teach you and make sure that you understand what you need to do and how to make sure that all of these things are adhered to. So the main thing is, and the most important thing is, to understand that if there's any problem, if you are not sure of how to do something, contact us because we will help you. The 800 number is free. You can actually call 855-4-CANINE-PROS. The number 4-K-9-PROS, and we will help you. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog